My name is Maria Luise Braunsteiner. I'm from the University College of Lower Austria for teacher education. And I have been very much involved in a special study. And since I was unable to attend the dialogue event, Migration and Education, the Password in New York City and Lower Austria on October 6th, I am very much interested in what topics were raised. With our study on migration and education, we identified important topics from the data. Have the results been discussed, or what was the dialogue event all about? This is my question.
Well, thank you, Marie-Louise. We did miss you. And my name is Aminata Diop, and I partially actually monitored the discussion that day. The format was that, you know, we had the dean open. We talked about the study, how the collaboration came about, and how we ended up with me. And the study, the results were discussed briefly because we didn't want to hack the conversation since it was more about the students and what their takes were going to be in terms of dealing with migrant students. And we then ended up just taking questions, which actually was very interesting because we had a lot of interesting points come up. I learned a lot from those discussions, and it was very nice how we alternated the Lower Austria students with the New York City students, and they all appreciated the experience very, very well. I myself shared also my lived experience as an African woman migrant immigrant in the U.S. from Senegal. And I think that also had a big impact in how people were seeing the migration crisis that we're going through. And we talked also about how currently how New York City has a lot of migrant families moving around. As of right now, they're still bringing more and more and more. So that it was a very interesting conversations, and we can go through some of your specific questions after maybe Carl gives his takeaway on that day and his overall point of view.
Great. My name is Karl Johannes Zahova. I'm also working at the University of Teacher Education in Lower Austria, and I had the pleasure to coordinate this project. Yeah, we had a great dialogue. And I felt we built a wonderful bridge between Lower Austria and New York City. And I would summarize it as a healing dialogue, because the healing aspect was that we learned we have very similar experience, we have very similar feelings, similar challenges. There are different solutions and of the challenges, but there was a very high level on solidarity. And I think this is something which is very important, and definitely would say healing for all the people participating. I won't not forget to mention that we had a very powerful statement of our rector, Yamin Rausche, at the beginning, who set the scene of this discussion and called us for not a cozy discussion, called for action. And I think it was a very good start and a fruitful dialogue.
Have the participants been teacher students? Are the dialogue partners, have they been from in school currently? Are they currently in school, or are they still within their studies? Their elementary studies, so to say.
So I think I will speak in terms of the students I invited, and Carl can speak in terms of the students and teachers he invited. So I had two students who are currently doing, they're all actually students, but within my students, some are students and teachers, and some are just students. So I had Chan Li, who is a host from China and is a student, but also came, talked about her immigration background and how her own kids are also dealing with different issues than she did. Okay. And then I talked to Fatou Juara, who also came from Africa, spoke about her own experience and talked about how herself, her own experience in terms of language barriers with her own mother and how it has affected her growing up in New York City. And then on the teacher's flip side, we had Patricia Monge, who is a lead teacher in region school in the Bronx, had 2-year-olds and wasn't able to speak most of the time, but still the times that she spoke, she shared the challenges that she had in terms of having some multiple students, especially with those who speak different languages, but mainly how she's the only teacher in the school who speaks Spanish and the challenges that that comes with and the impact of always being needed in terms of, you know, translating the different between the different parties that you have, parents, teachers, students. And then Rashima Brown, who's a preschool teacher at Bryce Horizons, talked about her own experience also and the challenges that she deals with in the classroom and the parents. So I think, at least for the New York side, I think even though all of them could have spoken directly in terms of the teacher's side, because some of them were also teachers at some point, they spoke as students if they were brought as such, or as teachers if they were brought as such.
Okay. As I understand, they all had migration background. Is it right? Was it like?
I would say yes, probably. Yes, because Rashima also came from, she's from, I think, Jamaica, if I remember correctly. So all four of them have their own personal experiences and also experiences dealing with migrant children in the schools.
Okay. Did they agree to our outcome that the teacher has a very important role, or was there another, did they emphasize other topics which would be important for them?
I think one of the probably commonalities, there were several commonalities that came across, and I think Carl sums it up really well, that we felt like we were almost kind of dealing with the same thing, just in different places. Okay. Had we not said New York City or Lower Austria, I think the experience was kind of the same from the base level. Maybe just the interaction and the places were different. But one of the things that and they talked about was really language as being a challenge, even though the DOE on our end here is trying to translate as many documents as possible. Sometimes the documents reaching the parents or the right way that the parents want to be reached, that is the challenge. I think there is a common acknowledgement that the DOE is trying as much as they can to really reach out always to these families and try to better them. But there is also this almost disconnect between the parents of the student, the immigrant students, and what the teachers expect from the parents. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the need is the parents are still probably not as involved as the teachers want them to, and the teachers are expecting the parents to be involved as much as they should. And I come in between based on my research and say this is all because of the lack of cultural understanding between immigrant parents who come to the U.S. from countries where they know that the teacher is a teacher and they have no business being involved in the kids' education. Then they transition to the U.S. and the expectations are different, but yet it's not communicated well to them. And I think that's one of the main challenges that we are facing, at least in New York City.
This is interesting because it's out of the project we are talking about, but I know a school in Vienna, which is a so-called middle school, and teachers, they told us that it was they had to learn that the parents thought that school is none of their business, so to say. And this was like, once they overcame this gap, this gap of understanding of communication, the cooperation was so much better then.
Yeah.
Because especially the mothers, had to learn that they are very much welcome. They teachers want to talk to them. And school in Austria means to, yes, to cooperate the parents and, of course, the students and teachers. Yeah.
I just want to add on this. I also learned that kind of many migrants, migrant children and young people, and the parents come with the experience from the country of origin that the parents have no role in school except something bad happened. And I think this is, and in the dialogue, it was very clear that the parents have to play a very important role in this in this community to strengthen, to support young people to grow in the education system. And I think this is something which has to be considered, that the migrant parents have a very different and diverse background from their country of origin, and to pick them up. And there was a very concrete example. The one colleague from New York said they have, when they write to the parents, they do have a letter in 5 languages.
Mm-hmm.
So this is standard, and I think that's amazing. And it is very clear that you address them with their own language, and you want to include them to the system and to the discussion, and they are part of the education of their children. Just to add on the lower Austrian side, we had a principal and 2 colleagues from the same school. The principal Irene Ille and Monica Plomer-Breitschop, she was did a translation, and Alexandra Lux from the same school, she is also working with migration and in the school. And this is a school, they are very ambitious. They shared that they had 48 recent refugee children from Ukraine included in the school, so they are on the way of including them, and they are very ambitious and very thoughtful on doing this. And yeah, they were very, they brought a great impact in this discussion too. Then was we had a diversity manager from the education board in Lower Austria, Ursula Ungerberg. She has experiences in many schools, and she brought in that, inclusion in our country has to go some miles to really, to see it as implemented, as standard. But we are on the way, so to say. And we had a student. She is a master student, Angelika Riedel. She, on the one hand side, she finished her studies. She's doing the master study. And on the other hand side, she's already teaching. So she brought in a very personal statement how she herself is dealing in school with the background of the knowledge from the university with migrant children. And I think they all were very excited to contribute this interesting dialogue to.
And I think, Carl, since you brought in the Alexandra, I think for me, she stuck with me because after I finished the conference, my students and I were just like exchanging. And we were all shocked because she gave an example of how, when we were talking about language and the challenges in the classroom, you know, what the teacher's saying, the challenges they have with and the students, and sometimes being the only person speaking that language or not speaking that language, and how do they attest to all of them. She brought in a different perspective where she talked about how the current Ukraine kids in the classroom are refusing to learn German because they feel like they want to go home. And if they know the language, they will require to be staying in away from home. And I thought that was the most powerful thing that I've heard. And I've never thought about language in that sense. But just to think that if I master this, it's going to kind of take home away from me, and thus I'm not going to master it. I'm just going to keep resisting, is one of the most impressive strategy that a kid can adopt. And of course, afterwards, I was thinking about it more and more, and I'm like, oh my God, I wonder what the parents are thinking. What are they telling them, right? What is happening at home? How do we, and she did ask the question, how do you deal with that challenge? And we also kind of started the discussion in terms of giving her tips on how to maybe go by dealing with those kind of kids, because it's a real challenge as a teacher when you know somebody is capable, but they just don't want to. And because they just thinking that they were told they wouldn't be in the country too long, but now it's looking like they're going to stay longer. And because of that, they're feeling frustrated enough to not learn the language. It was really amazing.
That would have been my next question. How important is the culture of origin? You have to think about that to Ukraine, Austria to Ukraine, it's about 800 kilometers, which is, I cannot say it in miles right now. Mm-hmm. It's very near. So in a sense, I can understand, but it is something that I did not hear before, that they don't want to learn the language. Yeah, it is very, well, it's a bit shocking, right?
It is. It was, I mean, until today, I keep walking and thinking, like, I never thought about it in that sense ever.
So the importance of the culture of origin is then very high, right?
Yes. And I think the teachers actually, in responding to Alexandra and telling her what they should, because I wanted them to hear it from colleague to colleague, right? If this is happening in their own schools. And they did give some recommendation in terms of, you know, how important creating a welcoming environment becomes in this sense. How, yeah, they don't, sometimes they isolate and cry to the kids because that's just how they are feeling, and how we have to be there to comfort them. How teachers need to be more patient, right? And I think in this climate, they just have to pack even more patience with the children. And teachers owe to really learn a little bit about the kids' culture and be try to implement some part of those cultures into the classroom, so the kids can feel as comfortable as they can and kind of break that ice of feeling so isolated. Because once you maybe speak one word in their language, or just tell them something, maybe dress up a certain way like they do, or just include them into something, they're going to start warming up to you. And that can come a long way.
There was one idea. Bogdan, a colleague of our university, Bogdan Chutka, brought in himself being a Ukrainian. He said, if the children can discover similarities in, mm-hmm, from their culture to the culture, the country of origin and the culture of the country they are coming, mm-hmm, that would help them. So discover similarities, cultural similarities from their country and the country they are currently living, that might help them to come over this dilemma of learning the language of the country.
Yeah, and I think the New York teachers took it one step further, where they talk about how in their own classrooms they try to regroup the students who speak the same language, and sometimes so they can help each other understand, because they don't speak the language. So if they can have a student be paired up with another student who comes from the same country, even though a lot of times you might not have them come from the same country, but they can speak the language and can help each other.
Yeah, I think this is, as I have been working with deaf children through my active time in class, this is also true for these children. They need time as like integrated in the hearing world, and they also need time within their culture, because deaf culture is different and the language is different. So also to come down, to feel safe. And this, I think this is true also for migrant children.
And I think I personally, being there and hearing what you just said, is that balance and finding that common ground where you don't feel like you're losing, one, your culture of origin, who you're not resisting to adapt to the culture that you're walking into, but just understanding that things are different. I think it's okay for us to tell the children that things are different. Yes, eventually you will go home, and you can get a choice to be returning home in the long run if you wish to, but at least for the time being, let them understand that, you know, this is something that they have to do. They have to find that middle ground where they can keep their culture and also not feel too much like a stranger in the new country that they are coming to.
For the Ukraine students, it was also true that when they came, at least Vienna provided, there were students, of course, that were about to graduate in the Ukraine and could not, of course. So Vienna provided that exam for them so that they could graduate. And I think many of them said that this was so great that they had the chance and also had the chance to do it in Ukraine language. I think that was it. I don't know how they do it right now, but it was when the war started, this was a great initiative. I think this was a good model, so to say.
And I think it's understood that we have to be creative, right? There's just no buts about it. At this point, we have to look around and see how everything is happening and not say, this is how we usually do things. We owe ourselves change, and we also owe ourselves to just come out of the and think outside of the box in order to be able to make everybody, or these kids at least, feel as comfortable as they can be while they learn, right? And then try to figure out, how do we bring them into the curriculum? How do we bring now their culture into the curriculum? You know, as a start, the teacher can be creative and do tasks in class and stuff in class that can be connected to the kid. But I think in the long run, we really ought to look at our curriculum and dismantle it and maybe rebuild it somehow and be able to give it flexibility so it can touch these newcomers.
This sounds great. I think I'm very sorry that I couldn't attend, but thank you that you shared this experience with me. Is there any further activity planned, or how was the future perspective of this activity? Was there any future perspective, Carl or Amina?
Yes, I think I'm just was also resuming in my mind right now that we figure out how to say key messages from the dialogue to help and to support with these key messages concrete implementation of the outcomes. And I just when you talked about the Ukrainian students right now, I think we made a similar experience in our dialogue. So there was the principal who spoke German, so using their own language, someone translated, the others hearing also a different language they don't understand. So I think we should, one key outcome for me is to rethink the concept of multilingual language, where there's a lot of space to develop. I think we are at the beginning when we talk about multilinguality. And I think we should also rethink the concept working with parents. There's also, we are at the beginning, you know, there's a lot of space to totally find a new setup. And then when it comes to the important role of teacher, third major outcome is for me, also they said, it was said in the dialogue that the attitude of the school directors and principals is key to the success of teachers and young people in the school. And I think this, for me, three very important outcomes. And when you ask on activities, I think we will condense the key messages of this discussion and make it like this broadcast available to colleagues, to, you know, the way to find their own way of implementation. I think it's not, does not make sense to have recipes. I think everyone, as Amanata just said, has to use the kind of his or her own creativity to find the conclusions and to find personal steps of implementation.
Well, I think, Marie-Louise, for us, we have a lot of work to do. And I think the reality is, this is a new world that we are living in that's just starting. And this journey that we are embarking, that got us to this conference, for us is just very early, right? So I'm glad that we are doing this. And I think if we want to think outside of the box in terms of what can we do, I will sum up what Rector Rasher said, which I loved. He talked about integration being a cool approach to migration. If you combine that with what Dr. Pazamentir talked about, let's go beyond recognizing there's a problem and try to solve it by action. I think the four of us together can do anything. And I'm looking forward to the work for sure.
Very good. That sounds great. I'm so glad that you shared your thoughts with me, because I'm very much into this topic, inclusion per se, as inclusion understood as education, diversity education. Thank you very much. And I have to mention that Almut couldn't join us today. And I want to thank her too, because she took part of my part and she's a great support too.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you. Thank you for the great discussion. There is a meeting here tonight.